Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoyed this message from our guest speaker.
The Lord's really been laying something on my heart lately about, I guess it started a few weeks ago when we were in Newfoundland. We were out, we'd done a boat tour out of St. John's, and we're out off of Cape Spear, which is the most eastern part of land in North America. And I start hearing this in my spirit about all creation is groaning. And it was just kind of quiet, you know, I'm just kind of thinking about it for a little bit. And then I put it out and we're listening to Irish music on the boat. It was good. But for the past couple of weeks now, I've been hearing this, all creation is groaning. And, you know, when you read it, it says about, you know, as a woman giving birth. And I'm like, God, what are you trying to say to me? And so all week, man, it was like exploding in my spirit. And I can just hear God saying, you know, echoing what even Pastor Gary said this morning, he's getting ready to do something. You know, and I believe that, you know, we're living in a day and an hour, and everybody's saying, oh, it's so bad, it's so dark. But, you know, if you look at it from a prophetic standpoint, we're in a very exciting time. I've been talking to God lately, and you know, in the past year and a half, I've been from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean to as far north in Ontario as you can get to the Mexican border in the U.S. I mean, he's put me in a little bit of places, and it's the same everywhere I go. I feel the same thing. God is getting ready. I mean, it's in the spirit realm. I don't know. I said to Erica the other day, she's like, well, what's happening? When's it going to happen? I said, I have no idea. But I really believe that, you know, we as a church, now I'm not just talking about us as a church. I'm talking about the church body needs to come together. There's been so much division. I mean, I really believe that that's really what the we need to get on our faces at the body of Christ and just really pray for unity in the body of Christ. Because we are so divided on so many things that are so stupid that don't even really matter anymore, but we're letting it divide us. And you know, and I can hear God saying, like, I want to do this. I want to break out. But the Bible, in the second chapter of Acts, the Bible says they were all in one accord. Holy Spirit didn't even show up till they were all in one accord. They were all in unity, and they were all asking for the same thing. And until we get together as a body of Christ, I really believe that God is, we're almost tying his hands. He wants to do it, but we're not letting him. And, you know, we're so worried about, you know, the Bible says all things work together for good for those who love God. I mean, we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to. I mean, I read the back of the book, we win. You know, like, why are we so scared about everything? It's like we're walking around like there's a devil behind every bush ready to jump out and grab us. He can't. He's got no authority in our lives. We have all authority. It's all been given to us. Everything under heaven has been given to us. And we walk around like we're so weak and feeble. And God is going, what is wrong with you people? How many times, I mean, you know, it's like he said to Moses, I'll just kill him. And he's like, no. We got to get together and understand the power that we have. When I was sick last year and in the hospital, I mean, there was times when, a couple times I called Erica. Well, one time I was there for about a week. I had to go in for a second surgery the next morning. I've been in this room with a guy for a week now, and they come in and they're putting a mask on me. I'm like, what's going on? They're like, well, we just found out that your neighbor's got COVID. I've been in here for a week. I've got an open wound. I called Eric. At that point, I had lost it. I called Eric, and I was falling apart. I was just so scared because the doctor just told me he almost died. I'm like, I called Erica, and they put me in a room by myself, and Eric says, honey, are you worshiping? I said, no, I'm crying right now. She said, honey, you need to worship. And I got off the phone and I put on YouTube and I just started to worship. And that song, we're going to see a victory. We're going to see a victory. That almost became my, I would listen to that over and over and over. And they done a test and I didn't have COVID. And, you know, which was a miracle because I'd been in this room with this man for a week. He's in there hacking and coughing. I just didn't know what was. I just turned up my music, didn't listen to him. It was funny. I was there on the Sunday morning. I was there and I was listening to church, and I didn't have my headphones in. I just got it on my phone. And I'm listening to it, and Pastor Jay's preaching, and the guy next to me, he's listening to John Hagee. And I didn't mean to say his name, but I did. So he's listening to him, and all of a sudden, I can hear the volume going down more and more. Finally, he just mutes it, and he's listening, and Jay was preaching away. And so I get done. He's like, so when Jay gets done, he's like, hey, neighbor. I said, yeah. He said, who is that? I said, it's my pastor in Canada. He said, oh, he sounds a lot happier than that Hagee fella. He said, that was some good preaching. I said, yeah, he does a good job. So you're known in Arkansas now, too. But you know, there were so many times where, you know, worship has been the key. With everything that we went through, when I got back from Arkansas, I had nothing. And, you know, I called our pastor and cried to him, and he said, are you worshiping? So then I called my dad. I figured I'd get a better answer from him, and, you know, maybe he'd send me some money or something. He's like, are you worshiping? I'm like, it's not the answer I'm looking for. But we went in, and we started to worship, and we started to pray. And within less than an hour, my phone's dinging with emails from people blessing us. And we worshiped through the whole thing. And, you know, when I went back to work in January, we had more money in the bank than if I'd been working. It's just, you know, so God has proven over and over and over again that we don't have to live in fear. He's going to take care of it all, because those who love him, he works it all out for us. You know, and you know, it says in Romans, what can separate us from the love of God? You know, nothing. There's nothing we can do. I've proven it. I've tried to separate. I've tried to get him to leave me alone. I looked at him when, before I gave my heart back. I said, I cursed him. And I mean, literally cursed him. I said, I will not live for you. I will not preach for you. And I will not honor you. And he just laughed and said, you want a bet? Because mom prayed, God, make him so miserable he can't even live in his own skin. And God honored my mom's prayers. But you know, this morning I was sitting in the garage, and I was, you know, just talking to God and stuff, and I heard that verse, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I mean, you don't need to be a prophet or an apostle, a pastor, evangelist, teacher to hear God. You don't have to be. All we got to do is get in tune with what he's saying. Just spend time with him. That's all he wants, is us to spend time with him. And just, you know, get in the Word and hear what God is saying to us. You know, I was just really reading. God really brought this chapter to me. I know I've talked about it here before, but Ezekiel 37. When he says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, picked me up and brought me to a valley of dry bones. It says, and the bones are really dry. And God says to him, can these bones live? And he said, God, only you know the answer to that. And I really believe that representative, in there it was the house of Israel, but I really believe right now God is saying it's the church. The church has forgotten what we have. We've forgotten what we can go after. We've forgotten what God wants to do in our lives and in our families. You know, we're, like I said last week, we're so worried about what's going on around us. We're sitting in coffee shops talking about politics when we should be sitting in coffee shops figuring out strategies how we can reach the lost. That's what we need to be doing. Who cares if I got to wear a mask to go to a restaurant? But you know what? People are going to hell every day. And, you know, I look at, you know, I see Pastor Jill and the ministry that they've had downtown. And you know what? I look at that with such honor. Pastor Jill, I look at you as a giant. I really do. And I know you don't want to hear that, but you are, in my heart, you're one of the greats. Amen? Because I've seen them down there, minus 20, getting all bundled up to go out and talk to people about Jesus. I want that kind of heart. My dad told me one time, he says, Dorman, you should never be able to look at anybody and say you're going to hell without tears in your eyes, no matter what they've done or who they are. And, you know, I could just see what, like, I can feel, you know, I could feel the Holy Spirit just groaning, saying, we need to get back on track. We need to get back to a place to where, you know, I remember one time I was downtown and there was a young fellow there and he was looking at my motorcycle and I said, I was going in the store. He says, I'll watch it for you. I said, thanks, bud. So I'm on the way in. I'm just going in to buy a pop and Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, buy him a pop. I said, okay. So I went in. I bought two. I brought one out and I gave it to him. I said, that's for taking care of my motorcycle. He says, oh, man, thanks. And he said, man, that's a nice bike. I said, thanks, bud. He said, that can never happen for me. I said, why not? He said, I ruined my life. And I knew where he was going, but I just figured I'd ask questions. And he said, well, I said, what's going on? He said, addiction. I said, what is it? I knew what it was, but I just wanted to hear it named because I know the name that's above every name. I said, what is it? He said, it's meth. And that's exactly what I dealt with. I said, I got the answer for that. We can knock that out right now. He said, oh, yeah, I reached in the glove box or in my saddlebag, and I pulled out a Bible. It's called Hope for the Highway, and I gave it to him. And it's a New Testament Bible, but it's got stories about, you know, bikers that have come to know the Lord and different people. And he's looking at it, and he's reading through it, and he tears up. He said, I think you just saved my life. He'd served the Lord. His mom's been praying. But he'd got all messed up in drugs. His kids were taken away and different things. And so we got talking. I said, you got kids? He said, yeah, I've got three kids, but they've got a stepdad now that's really good, and they just don't need me in their lives. I said, well, that's a lie that you're believing from the pit of hell. Because whether they got a stepdad or not, they still need their dad. So here we were. I'm praying with them. Here we are in the middle of 7-Eleven parking lot downtown. I got my arms around this guy, and we're just crying and praying. Everybody's getting gas and looking at us and walking by. But you know what? God showed up. I didn't care who seen it. And I just, you know, every now and then, God brings him back to my memory, and I just pray that, God, wherever he's at, either he's serving you or you're making him miserable until he does. You know, in there in Ezekiel, God instructed him to prophesy and then actually gave him the words to use so that there would be results. You know, there's times that when we go praying for something, you know, how about you take a minute and say, God, how do you want me to address this? How do you want me to pray for this? And if you don't know, just pray in the Spirit until it comes. But the Bible says that he prophesied to each situation individually. He prayed, he prophesied for the bones to come together. He prayed for the breath to come into the body. He prophesied over each situation. And the thing that we need to realize is that our words have power. The Bible says that we're made in God's image and likeness. How did he create everything? He spoke it. So when we speak things into the atmosphere, we are either speaking negative or we're speaking positive. And I heard somebody say one time there was a study done at a university and they put two jars of water in separate rooms. And one, it was all, they would do recordings of all just positive words. And then the next one, when they would do recordings of all negative words spoken over the water. And our bodies are made up of, some of us more than others, but there's a lot of water. And they said after 3 or 4 days, the one where the negative words were being spoken, the water would starting to get a little bit dirty. And the other one would just stay clear. And within a week or 2 weeks, I can't remember, the other one was almost looked like mud. And the other one stayed clear the whole time. No filter, no nothing, just positive words. So our words have power. We, you know, I got a guy that I work with, he's a lot of fun, and I know he's not listening, so I can tell you the whole story, but Actually, we went out for dinner with him and his wife there last year for my birthday, and he's so funny. I mean, it's every now and then God will give me a little tiny bit to kind of sneak in there. And so Erica called me one night, and it was like Wednesday night. So we get off the phone. He says, "Mom, okay?" I said, "Oh yeah, we're talking on the CV." And no, we're talking on the phone. He called me. I says, "Mom, okay?" I says, "Yeah." I said, "She's just getting ready to go to the midweek service at WCF for worship night." He's like, "Oh, there's church on a Wednesday night?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I didn't know that." I said, "Well, you're a heathen. I didn't expect you to know that." So I'm not only blunt here, I'm blunt everywhere. But, you know, God gives me little opportunities every time to kind of throw in a little bit of the word. But he's so fun. He's got a heart of gold. And he actually said to me the other day, and I'm really careful because I don't want to be too pushy with him, because I've kind of figured out where he stands, and he doesn't want to be pushed, so we'll just do it really subtly, and you won't know what's coming. And so the other day, we were actually on the CB, and we're talking, and we were coming back from Texas. He says, "Darman," he says, "I gotta tell you something. I noticed something about you." I said, "What's that?" He said, "Man, you're just always a dad." He said, even people older than you, you're just always got like a life's lesson or something to encourage somebody. He says, "I even see you in the truck stops, and you tell somebody how good a job they're doing." Or he says, "You're always being a dad." I said, "Well, it's just one of my giftings." And he's like, "What do you mean one of your giftings?" So, opportunity. So, you know, we could take that opportunity and we can be a positive no matter where we're at. I don't go into truck stops preaching fire and brimstone, but I just go in and I be who I am. And, you know, I've heard so many people say that, you know, sometimes we're the only Bible that people get to read. So, you know, and there's been times, yes, I've been a little impatient and different things, but I'm always quick to repent. I remember when I was in a hospital, and one of the nurses, she had done something and she hurt me, and I kind of snapped a little bit. And when she went out, God reminded me of Pastor Johnny, and he said, "No matter what pain I'm in, I never want to be mean to anybody." And I was like, "Oh, we're going to do this today now, are we?" And so the nurse comes in, and I said, "I owe you an apology." She said, "For what?" I said, "I kind of snapped at you, and I'm sorry." She said, no, I understand you're in pain." And she said, "You're not near as bad as some people." I said, "No, but I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to be better." I said, "And you work too hard for me to treat you like that, and I'm sorry." And she started crying. She's like, "That just means so much." I said, I just want you. And she was one of the only nurses that wasn't a Christian, and I got to witness to her, and she just stood there, tears would drip down over her face after, you know, I got done. And when they came to get me, to bring me back to Canada, I was on the stretcher and they're wheeling me out through. She comes out running. She says to the guys, she says, "Hey." And she come over and she just took my hand. She said, and she started crying. She said, "You guys take care of this one." She said, "He's one of my favorites." And I'd only known her for a couple days. She said, "But there's something special about him, so take care of him, okay?" And there's two great big guys. They're like, "Yeah, whatever, you know, just throw him in a plane. Let's go, you know." But, you know, it just, God has just given us so many promises in here. You know, he says, he's more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. So, I mean, we don't even have to fight the battle. And that's a lot of the things that we try and do sometimes, is we try and fight the battle when he's just kind of sitting on the ropes going, "You done yet? You wore out yet? You gonna let me do it for you or what?" You know, and there's so many times that we just try and jump in the middle of it and go ahead of God, and God's just sitting there going, "What are you doing now?" You know, God gave us an opportunity, and we're kind of in business for ourselves, and for the first little while, I was like, I gotta go. But for the past few weekends, I was like, you know what? We got back from Newfoundland. I'm like, I still run, you know, I still work hard in different things. But, you know, this, I got home yesterday, and, you know, I stayed home for an extra, you know, tonight I got to leave. But last week I stayed home for a couple of days. Next week, you know, I'm going to be able to stay home for a couple of days. And, you know, I just got, you know, God, I just can't stress over this anymore. I just can't. You know what I mean? I got to let you take care of it. And he said, "Well, it's about time." But, you know, it's so hard, so easy sometimes, especially, I mean, I got this thing in me where, you know, like, I'm like my dad. I got this work ethic, you know, it's, you got to go work, got to work, got to work, got to work, got to work. And dad went to Newfoundland, retired to Newfoundland. We got down there and he walks in. He's like, hey, I got a job. Doesn't that defeat the purpose of retirement, dad? He's like, well, you know, I'm working for the church. I'm just doing some fix-ups and stuff. I'm like, oh, okay. He's like, I can't just sit still. I know that. But, you know, just allowing God to do what he wants, you know, just, you know, and there's times where even in the truck, I'm just going through and remembering the word and the promises that he's given us, you know. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He who began a good work in me is going to complete it. The name of the Lord is a strong tower the righteous run into and they are saved. You know, they've never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging for bread. You can go on and on and on and on. And these are all promises that, you know, we've read them, we've underlined them in our Bible. I almost said underlit them in our Bible. That was, man, Newfie just jumped right out there, didn't it? And Reg is back there. He says, I understand. What's wrong with you fellas? You know? And, you know, we underline them in our Bible and we read them as we're going and then we put down the Bible and we go on through the day and we forget what we read. You know, and there's lots of times where, you know, I've been in situations, I'm like, oh God, I know you have a scripture for this or there's something that you can put in my heart. And he always does. He always does. You know, and there's been times where I've been sitting in places and different things. I just love, you know, spending time with God in worship. And I was talking to Pastor Jeff last week when we were talking, and it was the same thing. He's been preaching on praise every Wednesday night, what praise does for the situations and different things. Excuse me. So I know I'm on the right track. If I'm tracking with Pastor Jeff, usually I'm on pretty close to the right track. And if you're not, he'll let me know real quick. I've got that relationship with him. He's a father. And I remember one time I was here. I got to tell you this story. I was in the washroom and Pastor Jeff comes in and I says, I got a raise today. He's like, oh, you did? Praise the Lord. I said, yeah, 22 cents. I said, I was going to tell him to keep it. And then I realized who was standing in front of me. And he kicked my butt all the way from the back there all the way till we got here. And then he sat down and then he's preaching. And he says, yeah, he says, you know, Dorman got a raise today and we just rejoiced all the way to the front. And Erin looked at me and she's like, I'm like, that's not how it went at all. He's just covered me. That didn't happen. And he was rejoicing. But, he's just, you know, it's just, yeah, I love it. It's fun getting taken to the woodshed by somebody that carries that much punch. You know what I mean? It's a great time. But, you know, and God reminded me this week, you know, the children of Israel, when they were following instructions. They had to follow instructions and everything. When they didn't, it didn't work out good. But when he was getting ready to give them Jericho, he told them, march, 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 march. And then they shouted. And I heard somebody say it the other day, that when the walls fell, they fell in a way that they used them as ramps to get into the city. So what if everything that we're going through right now, God's going to use it to give us our inheritance? Amen. What if God's got it all in control? What if he's not scared? I really don't think he is. Because the Bible says that before the foundation of the earth, he knew you and he formed you. So I imagine before the foundation of the earth, he knew what was going to go on in 2020 and 2021. Is he up there going, I don't know what to do? Or is he up there going, I know what to do, are you going to let me? Because we have a choice in every situation we walk into. We can either be a positive influence or we can join in with the negativity that's all the way around us. You want to be a clear glass of water or you want to be muddy? And I mean, I'm as guilty as this as anybody. You know, it's so easy when you got a bunch of people all jumping in, you know, talking the conversation about this or that, jumping in the middle of it and carrying on with it. But I don't care if Trudeau's in office or if Biden's in office. I don't live under their economy. I live under heaven's economy. And I mean, it's like I said, it's all the way through there. Every promise. You know, if I know some people, they don't like certain things in the Bible. I said to one guy one time, I said, man, you must have a skinny Bible. He said, why is that? I said, because if you're ripping out every page you don't believe in, I said, there's a lot there that you got missing. And he's like, oh, he was like, oh, I believe I serve a sovereign God and everything that happens to me is, you know, his will. I said, really, you don't need any faith then at all. Because I just don't see, I said to him, I said, so what happens if you get cancer? Well, that's just God's will for me. I said, how can you be so dumb and still remember to breathe? That's just crazy. So the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from God. Should I not have said that? See, Chris is laughing. She's like, oh, he had to drop one, that's for sure. But it's true. I mean, it makes no sense. You know, and here we are in a situation that we're in right now to where, you know, if all we need is a grain of mustard seed of faith and it's going to work out. But instead, it's so easy to get catch on to the bandwagon and go with what's going on. Church, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I'm hearing Spirit saying, get ready. It's like T.D. Jakes. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Because God is getting ready to break out something. I really believe we're going to see a lot of marketplace ministry. I really do. Because he doesn't need big names on a stage to make his presence known. I believe that we're going to see a lot of marketplace ministry where people are going to get saved, healed, set free, and delivered right in the marketplace. And it's just going to be like they heard, you know, they noised abroad, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And he's coming in every one of us. Man, I don't know if you just felt that shift, but something just shifted. And I just, Pastor Jill, you just keep coming to me, coming to me. And I just hear God saying, you're not done yet. You're not done yet. There's many, many out there yet that are still waiting for the message that you got to offer. So right now, I speak health to your body and health to your mind. Everybody reach. Father, I just speak health to Pastor Jill's mind and his body and Pastor Judy too, Father. We just send Holy Spirit on assignment to see her right now this morning. And Father, even as Pastor Jill sits here, I speak healing and health to his body. Longevity right now in Jesus' name. Enemy, you have no right, no authority, and we just cancel every assignment right now that's tried to come against him and his ministry. We rebuke you right now in Jesus' name, and I speak freedom to his home. Right now, devil, you can't even pass the driveway. I just speak freedom and life to Pastor Joe right now in Jesus' name. You know, we really need to lift up our leaders or two. Keep them in prayer. I remember one time Erica was on Facebook and she seen somebody shared a really bad post on Dad's Facebook. It was actually pornography. Somebody shared it on Dad. And it was, so Erica comes out and she's like, this is on your dad's Facebook. So I called Matt and Nicole had access to his passwords and stuff. She went on and erased it and stuff, you know, before anybody could see it. But you know, we you know, he's our dad and stuff, but we didn't want anybody to see that and think anything about our pastor. Where sometimes, you know, people are so eager to see our pastors do something that we want to eat them for dinner after church. But you know what? We need to get behind our pastors and our leaders because they're human. They're people. They're going to make mistakes. But we need to lift them up in prayer and really just get behind them and, you know, and hold our arms up. because they've got enough things coming at us. They don't need their own congregation turning on them either. Amen? You guys went all quiet there for a second. I thought you were disagreeing with me, but... Well, you know, I just really wanted to share this with you today. I just wanted to give you... You know, God has just really been stirring this in my spirit that we have hope. We have a future. You know, Betty, you have such a sweet, sweet spirit. Right now, I cancel every assignment that's tried to come against you. I see you right now in the marketplace. I know you've been doing it. I mean, we've heard the testimonies. But I hear God saying it's because of the life that you've lived. You know, everybody tells me, Dorm, you got such a testimony. And I've got a good story about what God's done to me. But Betty's been a Christian for probably all of her life. That's a testimony. I hear God saying that this is my little girl, and he's so proud of you. That's a testimony, church. Because it hasn't always been a walk in the park where she's able to go out gardening. They've had to work. They've had to go through some things. But her faith is not stirred. Her faith is not shaken. That's a testimony. So this week, I want to challenge you that no matter where you go, what situation you walk into, be a positive. If the conversation starts to go to where it's turning negative, jump in the middle of it and say, hey, because you know what? You've got power to be an influencer, whether you realize it or not. Jump in and say, hey, you know, and just change the subject. Bring up something different. I've actually had to remind myself of that a couple times recently too, with a couple of things that in the trucking industry that always goes the same way to being negative, but having to jump in and say, hey, and change the subject. But we have the power in us to turn the tables of whatever's going on around us. Amen? I know this is a little heavier this morning than I usually do. I'm usually a little more fun, but our pastor said, you know, up there to have fun this morning. I want you to. No, he did. But I just want to tell you, you know, I love our church. I really do. I love coming here. I wish I didn't have to be on the road some Sundays and miss it, but I just absolutely love being here. I mean, it's just a feeling when you walk in. You know, but all that has been from years and years and years of our senior leader and all of the intercessors around her have laid this out. And our generation, we get to pick it up and keep running with it. Amen? But the only way we're going to do that is with the right attitude, the right vision, and getting in with what Holy Spirit wants to do. Does that make sense? So, this morning, I challenge you with that this morning. I just want to just, Father, this week, as we go on our daily tasks, and Father, we go to work, school, whatever we do, that, Father, you would just even put it in our hearts if we even forget for a brief moment, that, Father, and remind us how you've worked it all out. It's already worked out. It's already done. All we got to do is grab it, claim it, and run with it. So, Father, I just thank you for this in advance. I thank you in advance for the miracles and the testimonies that we're going to see coming, even from the people in our church, and that what you're going to do in the marketplaces. That as we see opportunities, we have enough boldness to jump in and go with it like Betty does. So, Father, I thank you for this. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.